You have your copy of God's Word. Turn with me tonight into Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. And tonight, brothers and sisters, we will spend just a few brief moments considering one of the disciplines of the Christian faith, which, if we are honest, we often neglect. And in neglecting it, we often miss out on such a wonderful blessing. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16, as we consider meditating on the Word and meditating on the things of our God. Psalm 119, beginning in verse 9, hear the Word of God. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your Word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, now we pray that in this brief time you might encourage the hearts of your people through the word of Christ, that as we look to the ancient hymn book of your covenant people, we might be encouraged to take up the words preached, the words read, and the words sung each week, and meditate on them, to muse on them, to chew on them, O Lord our God. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 119, as you know, is one of the longest chapters in the Bible. And many of you have an English version that breaks it into paragraphs, one for each of the Hebrew letters of the alphabet. Tonight we find ourselves in just one section of Scripture, verses 9 through 16, the second installment of all of the installments of Psalm 119. And one of the things that we see in this text is what the writer says in verse 15 when he writes, I will meditate on your precepts. Tonight, brothers and sisters, I want us to consider five brief things about meditating on the Word and then consider practically what that might look like. First, let's define meditating on the Word and then talk through the verses of this psalm as to the different benefits of meditation on the Word of Christ. Here's a definition that I put together this week. Meditating is to look into deeply, to reflect upon and enjoy thinking about the Scriptures or about the things of God, the attributes of God, the ways of God. To look into them deeply, to reflect upon them and enjoy thinking on them. Matthew Vogan of Reformation Scotland defines it this way. To meditate is to continue and fix ourselves and our hearts on the things we know. Scripture calls meditation holy musing, from Psalm 39, verse 3. We could, of course, define it a lot of other ways. We need to say a word about what meditation is not. Meditation is not the way that we often see it in Eastern practices, or even in things like yoga, where the mind is to be completely cleared, and you enter into this state of almost a trance, not letting any thoughts come your way. We are not advocating, the psalmist is not advocating an emptying of the mind, but rather focusing the mind on a singular thing. And instead of emptying our minds, forcing our minds to the point of great joy, of contemplating the Word of God, the ways of God, the things of God. So for the Christian, meditation is not an emptying of the mind. It is not getting in a specific position with your body and trying to work up your own peace. But rather, when the psalmist says, I will meditate on your precepts, he means, I will dwell on them. I will look into them deeply. I will reflect upon them. I will enjoy thinking about them. I will make them my mental muse. But we see at least five benefits just in our few verses tonight on meditating. I want us to look at these five benefits, or five realities, if you will, of meditating on the Word of Christ. The first is this, and we see it quite clearly in that first verse of our passage. Meditating on the Word is a chief weapon against sin. Let me say that again. Meditating on the Word is a chief weapon against sin. Look there at verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? It's a question. The psalmist then gives the answer. By taking heed according to your word. Now, if you were to start at Psalm 119, verse 1, and begin to walk your way all the way through these verses, you would get to the very end of Psalm 119, and you would see a regular theme, and that is the Word of God, the law of God, the precepts of God. Psalm 119 speaks over and over and over, in and out, about the precious Word of God. But in our passage, in verse 9, we see, firstly, that meditating on the Word, on the Scripture, is a chief weapon against sin. We see that in Psalm 119, verse 59, again later in this long chapter. Or Ezekiel 36, verse 31. Or Mark 14, verse 72. Looking deeply into, reflecting upon, and enjoying thinking about the Word and ways of God. But let's consider this for just a moment. Not only does the psalmist say that a young man can cleanse his way by taking heed to your word. Look at verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now, on the surface, we can walk away from this verse alone, considering the benefits of meditating upon and memorizing the Scriptures. Boys and girls, some of you live in homes where you memorize Scripture, or you go to a school or a homeschool group where you meditate and perhaps memorize the Scriptures. And sometimes you might feel like, oh, it's another assignment to do. But boys and girls, let me encourage you to consider that over the years, as you memorize the Word of God, that you are storing up an entire factory of information that the Holy Spirit can and likely will use later in your life. Thy word have I hidden in my heart. I've memorized it. It's lodged there so that I might not sin against you. When you memorize verses which speak to the purity of God, the evils of sin, the kindness of God in leading us to repentance, how merciful God is, and on it goes. When you meditate on these realities, it is fuel in the war with sin. Notice what the psalmist says in verse 10. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Verses 9, 10, and 11, in three different ways, speak to the reality that knowing and meditating upon the Word is a chief weapon against sin. Now, let me ask you to consider, brothers and sisters, in verse 10, have you ever gotten to the place in your life where you can say with the psalmist to the Lord in prayer, Lord, please do not let me wander from your commandments? Now, in the entire chapter of Psalm 119, various words are used for the Word of God. Precepts, law, commandments, statutes, ways, word. We see most all of these in our passage, but they are all throughout Psalm 119. I would argue that Psalm 119 is not only speaking of the Ten Commandments, but the entire Word of God. But in some cases, like in verse 10, commandments are what are used. Now let me ask you, friend. Have you ever meditated upon one of the commandments of God in such a way that you began to pray, Lord, please let me not wander from this commandment? Maybe you've been reading in your daily Bible reading plan, or you've been studying in your devotional, or you've heard a passage read, like this morning, our brother read from Exodus chapter 20, 1 through 17. Have you ever heard, thou shalt not commit adultery? And you began to meditate on that passage. Lord, I know that you've told your people not to commit adultery because you are a faithful God. The seventh commandment is given because it is a reflection of who you are. You are faithful. You never divorce or leave or cheat upon your people. You never walk away. So Lord, please let me not wander from this commandment. Or how about the ninth commandment? You ever considered meditating on how God is a God who never lies? So when he tells you that he rejoices in mercy, when he tells you that he is the God who loves to receive his people, do you believe him? Because he is the God who never lies, and he has commanded us not to lie. So we begin to meditate on who God is. We think about it. We savor the thought that of all the beings in the universe, God is the only one who will never lie to us. God is the one that we can trust 100% of the time. And he has given us that one commandment for our good. Because when we are people of truth, we are showing off in a finite way part of the nature and character of our infinite God. We begin to meditate on God's law so much so that it doesn't just become a list of commandments. We rejoice in who God reveals himself to be in these 10 words. And we rejoice that the life that he's called us to is a life that if we will take it up, the law of Christ in our hands, we will look like God. We begin to say, oh Lord, you are faithful. You are the God of truth. You are the God who gives me all that I need, so why should I covet? And we begin to think and meditate on these, so much so that when temptation comes our way, our minds are so full of the commandments of God because we've been meditating on them, that we want to sin less. Meditating on the Word is a chief weapon against sin. But that phrase there, oh, let me not wander. Shamefully, it has not happened for me as much as I wish. But have you ever had those moments where you are praying, or you are reading, or you are meditating on a passage or an attribute of God, or a sermon that you've just heard, and you don't want to stop? You're reading the Bible and you read this passage and you think to yourself, oh Lord, how gracious and merciful you are. Lord, I don't want to get up and start my day. I just want to sit and reflect on how glorious you are, how kind you are. Have you ever had those moments where you think, I don't want to leave this time with the Lord? The psalmist can say, with my whole heart I have sought you. Don't let me wander from your commandments. And we take up the Word in meditation, and by the Spirit's aid and God's grace alone, we can grow in our love for our times with the Lord in prayer and with His Word, so much so that we don't want to let it go. You ever tried to meditate throughout the day? Do you notice how hard that is? In recent days, I have sought increasingly to do this. Maybe it's a passage I've read in the morning or thinking about some theological truth, an attribute of God, and I will say, I want to meditate on this throughout the day. But the cares of the world come in, and they're good cares. making a living, caring for others, making phone calls, responding to emails of those who need aid. Before long, 5 hours or 5 minutes into the day, we almost forget what we were thinking about. But you see, meditating on the Word is a chief weapon against sin. But secondly, as verse 14 shows us, meditating on the Word reveals what we treasure. Look there. This talk of needing the Word and meditating on it that we might avoid sin moves into verse 12 and following. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. Now, the only person who ever lived a life completely rejoicing in the Word of God more than all riches was our Savior. Adam didn't do it fully. Noah didn't do it fully. Abraham and Moses and David, they didn't do it fully. In fact, David, who wrote most of the Psalms of our book of Psalms, is the great king who meditated on the Word of God but didn't do it perfectly. But here we read this description that it is possible to rejoice in the Word of God, God's testimonies, more than all of the riches of the world. Which should cause us to ask the question, what do we treasure more than the words and ways and promises of God? We ought to find ways to think about Christ and His Word throughout the day. Notice again, the psalmist says in verse 10, with my whole heart I have sought you. Do we treasure the Word? And do we meditate on the Word, realizing that it, according to the Scripture itself, is a way of causing us to have a clean path, to want to sin less, to purify our thoughts. But a third thing that we see in our text is this, verse 15, meditating on the Word fuels Christian living. Meditating on the Word fuels Christian living. Look at verse 15. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. There's a sense, brothers and sisters, in which as we meditate on the Word of God, when we read it, after we read it, when we hear a sermon and chew on that Word throughout the day and the early week ahead, we have fuel for Christian living. Do you find yourself thinking deeply ever on God's precepts? Do you ever find yourself thinking deeply on God's words of grace to His people? I mean, the kind of deep thinking where you read something and it strikes you and you say to yourself, oh, my soul needed that. And then, not because you're holier than any other in this room, not because you're excellent at meditating on the Word of God, you take up that Word throughout the day, the minutes and hours that pass on from that moment, and you think, I'm going to dwell on this. I heard in the sermon today that God's kindness leads us to repentance. I just want to meditate on how kind God has been. When I was living this life of sin and I was separated from Christ, He was kind to me by not bringing judgment prior to bringing me to Christ. How kind He was when I was blaspheming. How kind He was when they were evangelizing me and I was snarky and rejected it. How kind He was in not showing me all of my sin at once. How kind He was in wooing me as I first became a believer. How kind He was when I went through a whole host of theological errors before I came to greater understanding of His Word. And you just begin to think on all of these things. Because the Word said God's kindness leads you to repentance. And that fuels your Christian life. Just this past week, I was trying to fall asleep. Maybe you can relate to this. And I began to pray. And as I prayed, I had the thought that came to mind, who are you talking to? And very quickly, I thought, I'm talking to the God who knows the bottoms of the oceans. I don't know why I had that thought. But boys and girls, I thought in that moment, I'm praying to God. He is high and lifted up. He knows all things. He's made all things. In fact, there are deep parts of the ocean, and He knows where every fish is right now. He knows where every cavern and whale are right now. This is who I'm talking to. And I began to meditate for just a moment upon the fact that I am talking to the God who made all things out of nothing, and He has given me the privilege of speaking to His ear. See, in that moment, meditating on an aspect of who God was fueled my prayers. But fourthly, meditating on the Word deepens our love for God. Look at the second part of verse 15. The first part says, I will meditate on your precepts, meaning I will meditate on the things that God has laid down for me to do, which is why we say it fuels Christian living. The second part says, and I will contemplate your ways. Do we contemplate the ways of God? When we do, it deepens our love for God. Edward Calamy, the Westminster divine, wrote this, meditation is the soul's transmigration to heaven, the soul's transfiguration, the soul's going up to heaven to converse with God, Christ, and the things of eternity. See, when we meditate on the Word and on the ways of God, we begin to love God deeper, more than we did before. A couple of passages, turn over a few verses to Psalm 104. Psalm 104, verse 34 says this, may my meditation be sweet to Him. I will be glad in the Lord. Or how about the prophet Isaiah? Turn over to Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah chapter 51, verses 12 and 13. The Lord says this, I am He who comforts you. Who are you that you should be afraid of a man who will die and of the Son of Man who will be made like grass? And you forget the Lord your Maker, who stretched out heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. You have feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, when he has prepared to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? In that moment, the Lord is pictured as the God that when we forget the cares of the world, our fears overtake us. Said another way, we will always be thinking on something. Why not be thinking upon the God who made all things out of nothing? So just to review, some of the benefits here are that meditating on the Word and the ways of God is a chief weapon against sin. It reveals what we treasure. It fuels our Christian living. And it deepens our love for God. But you know, our passage ends with one more lesson on meditation. Look at verse 16. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. The fifth thing that we see about meditating on the word is that it produces joy. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that you will have happy emotions every time you hear a sermon, every time that you read the word. In fact, we are all put together differently and we all go through different things. The Puritans even used to speak of this. For some of us, reading the Word for a few moments will produce very happy emotions. And for others of us, Those emotions come less frequently. But notice what the psalmist says. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will find delight in them. I will not forget your word. In other words, I am taking myself to your word, and there I will find delight. I am making sure that I don't forget it. And that produces joy. So a question, brothers and sisters. Do you meditate on the word? We've seen at least five realities from our text about meditating on the scripture. Do you take the opportunity to meditate? As we close, let me give you a couple of encouragements, quite practically. You may say, you know, I don't really spend much time thinking about it. I've memorized it. I read it. But I don't really meditate very often on the word. Well, practically, let me encourage you in these ways. Every Lord's Day, you hear one or two sermons, and maybe, Lord willing, in a few weeks or months, a Sunday school lesson. In that moment, provided that the Word of God is proclaimed aright, you have the opportunity to hear the Word. What do you do with the sermons that you hear? And think on this, brothers and sisters. We live in a day where, by God's grace, He has given us printed Bibles. Boys and girls, I have dozens of Bibles on my shelf. Maybe your mom, your dad do as well. But it's only been within the last 400 years or so that people have actually had copies of the Bible. For 1,500 years, by and large, the opportunity that people had to hear the word was when the minister preached it on the Lord's Day. Because the Bible wasn't printed in their language. And if it was, it was so expensive that they couldn't have a copy. And for quite a few centuries, they were not allowed to have it. And so, believers gathered week in and week out, and they heard sermons, they heard teaching, and that was their food for the week. And you and I have Bibles on our shelves, and we have sermons in our ears. What do we do with those sermons? Let me encourage you. Make it your aim to take the sermons that you hear and think on them, at least for the first part of the week ahead. Quite practically, brothers and sisters, you hear the word preached. Perhaps you take notes, perhaps you don't. But then you take that sermon and you walk out through the week ahead and you say, tomorrow morning, Monday morning, I'm going to pray about what I heard. Today's sermon was about repentance. I'm going to pray about repentance. I'm going to meditate on the fact that the scripture says that it's God's kindness that led me to repentance. I'm just going to think about that. And then I'm going to get in my car and I'm going to go to work, or in our day, I'm going to put a dress shirt on and leave my pajama pants on, and I'm going to go sit in front of a computer and telecommute. But as I'm walking that way to the computer, I'm going to be thinking, God has been kind. In between sips of coffee and emails and phone calls, God has been kind. That night you lead in family worship and you say, boys and girls, what did you hear Pastor Ryan? Or what did you hear Elder Chad? Or what did you hear Mr. Jesse or Mr. Andy or any of the other brothers who preached yesterday? What did you hear in the sermon? Oh, that's good. Yes, isn't that right? He did say that. The word says that God's kindness leads us to repentance. Here's what that means. You begin to chew on the food that you've received. Again, Edward Calamy in the 1600s said it this way. God requires you to hear sermons and requires you to meditate on the sermons you hear. It is digesting that nourishes, not the mere action of eating something. Meditation is digesting all the things of God. It is not merely hearing a sermon that does you good, but meditating on what you hear. If a man has a plaster and lays it on his sore, and then takes it off as soon as he has laid it on, it will do him no good at all.
So when you hear a sermon, if you forget it as soon as you ever heard it, if you do not chew, meditate, and ponder upon what you hear, you will never get any good. There are so many lean Christians that devour hundreds of sermons and are never any better, never any fatter. Why is this? Calamy continues, because it goes in one ear and out the other. They never meditate, ponder, and consider what they hear. That is the reason why you are so lean in grace. And think about Calamy's day. The day of the Westminster Assembly, the day of Charles persecuting the Scottish Covenanters and the English Puritans. There was no sermon audio. There were no Reformed websites where you could talk about theology and maybe the beer that you drink. No. And yet he says there are Christians that devour hundreds of sermons, but they're not meditating. And so they remain lean in grace. Brothers and sisters, every sermon is an opportunity to hear the word and store it for food ahead. But secondly, every Bible passage you read, do you simply read it? Or do you say with the psalmist, let me not wander from your commandments? Yes, meaning let me not sin. But even prior to that, let me read and take this in. And brothers and sisters, quite practically, and I know this is a little bit more practical than we often get, but maybe for some of us, the Bible reading plans are wonderful. But if your Bible reading plan has become I'm going to try to read as much as I can read throughout the year, but you don't actually meditate on what you're reading, it is doing you no good. For some, slowing down and lingering on the words of the page is what is necessary. Thirdly, as you hear sermons, as you read the Bible, as you go about your day, find ways to turn your thoughts to Christ, to His Word, to the attributes of God, to the ways of God. You might be sitting in your car. Maybe you look down at your phone, which I'm not even sure if that's legal now, but you see an email. You begin to say, oh, that's my brother so-and-so. He just encouraged me. Lord, how kind you are to give me Christian community. Here I was being discontent on a Tuesday morning, and this brother or this sister, she sends me an email or a text. Lord, you are kind. You know, the scripture says that you are kind. The scripture says that you are the God who gives a hundredfold of family members to those who follow Christ. Lord, you have been kind. Or maybe it's you're surprised when you open the banking app on your phone and there's much more money in your account than you thought. You begin to think, Lord, how gracious you are. You just begin to think on the ways of God through the scriptures. You're not making this stuff up on your own. Even moments where you don't have a Bible are opportunities to meditate on what the scripture says that God has done, who the scripture says that God is. Another opportunity, and we're finished. And that is, in addition to every sermon and every Bible passage, and in addition to the opportunities that we have to think on the Word of Christ and the ways of God and the attributes of God throughout the week, did you know that what we sing is designed to cause the Word of Christ to dwell richly within us? Turn over to Colossians chapter 3 for just a moment. Colossians chapter 3. There, and you might be familiar with this passage, Paul writes these words.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Did you know that the early church was a singing people? They would sing the scriptures, and thus they would memorize the scriptures. Did you know that there have been people down through the ages who learned large portions of the doctrines of the Word of God by singing them? Do you know that that's why we sing, boys and girls? We don't sing to make everybody calm down and get ready for Pastor Ryan. We actually sing because we're commanded to sing. And when we're commanded to sing, one of the chief things that we're doing is we are saying the Word or the doctrines of the Word to one another. I think everyone in this room will know this, but part of the reason that we sing psalms here is because we're commanded to do so. Let me just be quite frank. It's not really popular to sing psalms. Most churches that you go to won't sing psalms. Now, we of course understand that the scripture doesn't command us to sing only psalms. But think, brothers and sisters, about what it would look like for our children for 15 to 20 years to be raised in a church where they regularly sing psalms. So that as they go about their days, when COVID 2.0 strikes 15 years from now, they will have an entire wealth of information. They will have words and truths for mountaintops and joys, but they will have words memorized because they sang them for great challenges. They will have laments. They'll be memorized. Singing is about me and you joining in the praise of the risen Lamb, but it's also about me singing the word and the doctrines of Christ to you and vice versa. And it's one of the easiest ways for us to remember the word, by singing it. So the Lord has given us sermons. In our day, He's given us the very Bible to read. He's given us moments to dwell on these things as we go about our day. And even the songs that we sing are opportunities for us to let the word of Christ dwell richly within us. So look as we close at our text. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Notice what comes right after that. Let me not wander from what? Your word, your commandments. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me what? Your statutes, your word. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I sing them, I say them, I talk about them. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies. In other words, I have found rejoicing in your word as much as in all riches. May that be so. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. And I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget what? Word. Brothers and sisters, what do you do with the sermons you hear? What do you do with the Bible verses that you read? What do you do with the moments when your thoughts wander? And what do you do with the very songs that you sing, even here? The psalmist would say, I find in them my treasure, my delight. Thinking on these things are what guard my way from sin. In fact, O Lord, your word is more important to me than all the riches. Let us pray that the Lord would do in us what he did in the psalmist and make his word our holy musing. Let's pray. Almighty God, as you feed us until we are with Christ by your word,
give us energy and desire to meditate, to chew on what we hear, to let our minds go there more frequently, to turn over the glorious promises and precepts of your scriptures in our mind's eye, to sing in our home, in our churches, to know your word in such a way that when times for lament come, we know your word. When times for joy come, we know your word. Lord, help us. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.